We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And welcome to Comic
Culture.
Hey, Chris. Right. Walt. Shecky, welcome to Comic Culture. Mm. Radio show, the champions of the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at
93.3 CFMU.
McMaster Radio.
And
podcasting at
Get the Point Radio, iTunes, and comicbookdaily.com.
Yes, we are. And
I think it's Get the Point Radio. We haven't really looked into that yet.
No, we haven't. And I am Walter DeRaglia.
Yep.
Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
Also known as Slurpee Jones.
Slurpee Jones.
I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Also known as... That's for the after-hours show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can't get into that.
Yeah. And beside us, to your left and my right, is the great Shecky Feldstein.
A producer extraordinaire.
Of this show.
I'm sure he does other things, but of this show for sure. How are you, Shecky?
Doing great, Chris and Walt. Thanks for having me again, as always.
Yeah. Of course. Well, you know, this is the final show for the 2013 calendar year. After tonight's show, we will be on hiatus for a couple weeks because it's
for 3 weeks. So three week break, and you know, I just want to take the liberty right now to say, man, don't we sound great singing a song? You know,
we really do.
Someone should start paying us for all I know
for something you know. That we do.
Yeah, yes. And so let's say that you know this week we're absent from our young buck engineer Andrew Roebuck.
Yeah, you know,
so date.
Well,
really.
Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Or he just had something better to do than this week after week.
How can you possibly have anything?
It could
better
be
than
anything. It could literally be anything.
Oh, come on. There's nothing better than this.
Anyway. All right. Well, anyway, we may be without music for this segment.
We are without music.
We are not without slurping, though.
Right. No. Never.
No. So
I will fill that void well.
Yes, well, as you always do. Listen, we are going to be without music, but you know what? That's okay. We're okay with that. We're having some technical difficulties, but we are persevering and plowing through as we...
that's what Santa Claus would do, Chris.
He would. He would persevere.
You know what? If one of his elves couldn't drive the sled...
Because that's what elves do.
You think he wouldn't go deliver his toys?
He would absolutely do that.
Darn right
yeah.
he would.
In fact, he would just slap on a moose in the front of the
exactly.
sleigh there. Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And he would get the job done. And it's kind of like what us three, the three wise men.
That's right.
From the east.
From the east.
I can't say east.
You're doing a fine job saying
the three
east.
Three wise men here. We're here delivering.
Yeah,
the goods, like Santa.
That's you know you kind of look like Santa sometimes.
Thanks.
You have a little bit of a goatee, a little bit of white, and the goatee
I've been
going.
Gaining some weight.
Now, I wasn't going there.
Beefing up. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we are here to talk about comics. Believe it or not. Mm. So
we still do that.
Yeah. Oddly enough, we still talk about comics. So I want to let's dive right into new this week, and we're going to keep it short because we do have a lot of. We're going to do a bit of a year end wrap up today.
Yeah. You know what? Let's be a little festive. Because, like Chris said, this is the last for this year, the last show of 2013.
Yep.
So we're going to recap everything, all the highs, and there's a lot of lows.
A lot of lows.
No, but hold on. We're not going to focus on the lows.
There's a lot of lows.
We got to focus on the highs.
Okay.
I know how much you like being high, so let's focus on the highs.
I like standing on things.
Exactly. See, yeah. I know you're a tall guy.
You know what? Shex likes getting tight. He doesn't like being high. He likes getting tight. You know?
Getting tight. You know, is that one of those phrases from the 40s?
Hey, 30s, hey, actually.
You lighten things up again tonight? You getting tight or what? Hey, Bugsy. Huh? You got to go down to the speakeasy.
Yeah. Well, listen. Anyway. I'm defending my Shexter here. He's...
Sounds like you're insulting him. I don't even know.
No. Yeah. Defending.
Let's persevere.
Okay, let's persevere. let's go right into new this week. And new, of course, do we have any sponsors for the new this week there, Shecky?
Absolutely. All right. And the forerunner would be brought to you by the year 2013. Lots of highs and lows and lots of things to remember, whether it's high or low. Twerking did come out of it.
You know, it's really hard to get payment from the year 2013. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't think anyone pays us for anything, Chris. Usually they're trying to sue us afterwards.
Well, that is true, too. All right, listen. Let's start things off with FF number 15. This is, of course, by Matt Fraction and Mike Allred. And this one features Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom.
Now, we haven't talked about FF.
Yo, what FF fan?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely, yeah.
What issue of Fantastic Four did Dr. Doom first appear in?
I'm going to say number 4.
Oh!
Number two.
13.
Scroll number two.
Okay.
Reintroduction of the Submariner, Silver Age Submariner number four.
Okay.
So
go on.
Oh. That's seven. All it was.
Five. You're absolutely right, Owen. Number five.
You know, as a comic book historian, I should know these things, but I'm more about the politics of and how things were created in comic books. You know,
you're right.
Yeah, I'm not the Overstreet Price Guy advisor like you are.
That's dealer talk, right?
Yeah,
there,
that really right? is. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, no. I like to be put on the spot once in a while like that. It's all good.
I heard the book.
All right. Listen, that is by Matt Fraction and Mike Allred. I don't want to. You know what? I'm not going to give too much away to these comics this week because it's just it's Christmas and I feel like I'd be giving an early Christmas present,
right?
If I was talking to you about that.
Now listen, this what number is it?
15.
Daredevil.
No, it's FF number 15.
FF number 15. A great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely.
And you can head down to your local comic book shop today.
Yep.
Pick it up and stuff it in a stocking.
Just stuff it.
Why don't you just stuff it yourself? Listen. We're gonna plow right through these. I only got two comics to talk about. FF number 15. The other one is Batman and Two-Face number 26. And now you know what?
Wait a minute, that's Batman number 26.
Well, yeah, but I guess it's called kind of like Batman and Two-Face because it's kind of like there's a sub story with it. You know, that deals a lot with Two-Face, right?
All
right. So, and this is number 26, and this is by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. And you know what? You know one of the great things I love about Jackie Gleason.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Patrick Gleason. He's been around for a little while. I did a lot of work on Green Lantern earlier, a couple years ago. And you know what? I love the way that they're doing things with Two-Face. They're really making him out to be like a mob boss kind of thing. You know, he's really trying to take over the city. I love those kind of storylines. But anyways, you know what? There's more to it than just that. I love the cover. The cover alone has Batman as if he's kind of like Two-Face.
Nice.
He's got the scarred face to it, you know.
Yeah,
Great-looking cover. Please, go out and check it out.
Hey, Chris, Batman and Scarface number 26.
Scarface, yeah.
That's the one. Makes a great stocking stuff.
Yeah, Batman and Scarface.
And it's available at your local comic book shop today.
Yeah.
You should go in, pick it up.
How about Batman and Two-Face?
And that one, too,
right?
Yeah. And you can stuff them in a stocking. Get home, stuff them in a stocking.
You quit telling me to stuff it. You know, I thought we were friends.
Chris, into a stocking.
Oh, right.
And you know what? And you come up Christmas morning, you wake up, you go to your stocking.
And you can unstuff it.
Yeah, you can unstuff it and enjoy it.
All right, I like unstuffing things. All right, listen, we got lots to talk about this week. Those are just two of the myriad of a number of different comics that you can go out at your local comic book store. You know what? Comic books really are a great stocking stuffer.
They really are. Great
you know what?
Stocking
they're
stuffer.
Like $4 each, $3 each.
$3 each.
You know, and you know, you go, you can roll them up, stuck in your back pocket if you want.
I'm sorry, but I have to interject here.
What?
Sound like a terrible stocking stuffer. It's all about having that 9-8, you know, great condition comp. If you're rolling them up and jamming them into a stocking.
That's what Chris and I and everybody in comics should be promoting is the enjoyment in reading them.
Rolling things up and jamming them into things?
Shecky, you know what? When you're wrong, you're wrong, and you're wrong. I got to tell you this.
I don't think I'm wrong.
You're completely
wrong. Now, the reason why you're wrong, and Chris doesn't want to say this, is because Chris buys two and he keeps them both mint. And the more people that roll theirs up.
Yeah, okay, the better he is. Yeah.
Exactly. Right, so. No, in all seriousness, though, anything that we can do to promote comics, to get people to read comics,
we're
not talking about the collectability of them. That is a completely other issue here. Who wouldn't want to have a Slab 9-8 Amazing Fantasy 15, right? It'd be like $1 million or more.
Yeah.
Right?
Like that.
So there. Who wouldn't want that? Speaking of $1 million, apparently somebody won $7 million in Hamilton somewhere, Hamilton, Ontario, and they haven't claimed the ticket yet. So if you are listening to the show tomorrow and you have a lottery ticket for $6.49, go out and check to see if you could be a millionaire.
You could invest in comic culture services to direct you on how to wisely invest that money into comic books.
And we do party events, too.
Yeah, we do.
You can hire us out to your kids' parties.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs.
That's right.
And barbecues.
Brisses. Yeah.
Not only will we not leave until we've been paid, but we won't leave until we've eaten everything off the craft services table. Yeah.
Craft services? What are we? We're not that popular. Come on now.
Oh, okay, fine.
All right. So,
like crap
are we done the new this week?
Yeah, we're done new this week.
Right, so
we're gonna dive right into
it, Chris.
comics. We're going to talk about the market wrap up for November. I know it's December. However, we have to talk a little bit about the wrap up for November to find out how well comics are doing on the whole.
All right, on the whole.
On the whole.
All right, how are comics doing, Chris? On the whole. Are they falling in? Where that's happening?
Oh dear! Listen, comics and in general on the whole. I know how much you love comics on the whole.
Yeah, comics on the whole, comics in the stocking.
Rolled up, jammed into the stocking. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen. Okay, after 11 months, because this is a bit of a wrap-up show.
Yeah, wrap it up.
After 11 months, the total market in the channel.
Hey, Chris, why don't you try to read my typos verbatim?
In the channel is up 9.3 versus 2012.
Okay, so for the first 11 months, we're up.
We're up just over 9% on the whole. On the whole in the channel. With comics up 11% and graphic novels up 5.5%.
Nice.
Which, of course, is great, right?
Yes.
That's what we want to see. We want to make
we're
sure
up. We want to be
we're
up.
We're up. Yeah. We're up.
We want to be up.
Marvel had the top market share in comic stores just by a little bit with 29.97% versus...
So about 30%.
I want to say 29.97 because DC had 29.24.
Oh, that's tight.
So
that's close.
It's neck and neck close. It's tight.
Like, keeping it tight.
Like you, Shrek.
It's tight. You know, on the whole, it's tight.
On the whole, it's tight. Listen, that's not a bad thing sometimes. But what I got to say is this. I like the tightness there.
It's neck and neck.
And what I like about that tightness is that it leaves a lot of room.
It does.
For that third party.
Yes. Because usually the third party has a really small percentage.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't got much play.
No.
So I like, remember you and I discussed before the importance of what I thought of Marvel and DC.
Yes.
I didn't say the other publisher. I'll say Marvel and...
DC.
Thank you.
Marvel and Detective Comics. Or the Distinguished Competition, as Marvel used to call them.
Right. I like it when they're neck and neck. I like it when they're equals.
Right.
I don't want Marvel running away with 40 and DC having 26.
You know what? There was a time a few years ago where Marvel was at like 40% and DC lagging behind.
But there was also a time when they were both humming.
Yeah.
Because they like humming.
They do like humming.
And they were both at around 35, 36 at a couple times, which left too little of a pie, because it's all about the pie, Chris.
It is.
Too little of a pie for the others. And what I like about the 30-30 is that there's 40 left for the others, and that's a really good thing.
It's a good share of the pie for the 40.
That's a big wedge of pie right there.
Yeah, it really is.
40%.
Listen, you know, Image... had a strong month. Of course, you know what's funny is Image is a strange company to me. Mm-hmm. It's a.
I heard they're working on their Image.
Well, primarily creator owned, right?
On?
Yeah. Hey. I just tried to ignore you. Primarily creator owned, right? So, but they've got titles like Spawn, which is always continually popular, right?
Spawn.
But I think what's really pulling their share up is Walking Dead.
Is it pulling or is it pulling?
Didn't I say pulling?
Pulling.
Pulling their share? Yeah. Pulling their share?
Pulling their share is Walking Dead. You're right.
Yes, Walking Dead.
But let's not just credit Walking Dead. And you're right. Walking Dead is a big part of it.
Yeah.
In the 2013 speculative market.
Well, I'm amazed that you're able to say that.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah.
I can't
say East or DC, but you can say speculative market.
Hold on. Let me slurp.
He's there, Slurpy Jones.
Where was I? 2013 speculative market. Image was the darling of those cats, right? So what Image number ones, when they came on, for some reason, because of Walking Dead, because of Chew, because of titles like this,
Invincible,
where the number ones are now
selling
for a stupid $1,000 and stuff, it seems that Image, the new launches of number one, like East and West and all that kind of stuff... speculators were drawn to the number ones more so than, you know, the 37th Wolverine title launch, right?
Yeah.
There was no interest.
But you know what's interesting to me about that is, and you and I talked about this recently, there has been a strong pull lately in the recent, and when you go to comic book conventions now, there's been a strong market for relatively recent comics. And I don't mean comics that came out like a year ago, but
last
I mean like
10 years.
In the last 5 to 10 years,
yeah, 8 years,
some of them are incredibly hard to find.
Yeah.
Like you go to try to find an issue of, I don't know, like even Batman, let's say Batman number 2, which came out 2 years ago, right? Hard to get, hard to find, because people aren't speculating on those. There's not as many of those around. So I think that, where was I going with this?
We never know, Chris.
Oh, well, I'm saying, like, you know, so it might be relatively easy to find copies of East and West, a number 1.
Yeah.
But try to find a number 2 or a number 3, incredibly hard to find.
Right.
Right? Because that speculative market that was driving Image for a long time isn't necessarily there for the subsequent issues.
Yeah, you're right. But, you're right. But I think that's why subsequent issues, I won't say failure. No, you may be onto something, because what happens with Image when they throw, they're throwing a lot up onto the wall.
Yeah.
And the only way those speculative number ones will be worth something are the ones that stick. So if something's really good, if the series lasts, then those number ones are good.
Right. Then you get a book like, say, IDW, right, which right now had a 6.69% share.
That's awesome.
And Dark Horse had 6% share, 6.11.
Hey, listen, that's three publishers right there accounting for 20%.
Right, exactly. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That is better than awesome. And then the rest of the cavalry, everybody else, has got the other 20%.
Yeah.
And I like that. So what we have here, Chris,
what do we got, Walt?
Is the whole pie has grown.
Yes.
And the distribution of the pie has changed a bit, where Marvel and DC are taking a little bit less of the pie.
Yep.
And the other players are taking more of the pie. I like these numbers. I kind of like a 30-30-40.
Yep.
I like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh houses of publishers doing well, and this is a good dynamic going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, just a quick look at the actual numbers for November. You know,
I got a question.
Yeah.
So top 25 there.
Top 20, yeah.
Top 20. Was there a non-Marvel or a DC?
Walking Dead. It came
in. That's good, because that wasn't around before.
Yeah, Walking Dead came in at 13 and 14 for issues 116 and 117 respectively.
Right.
But then that's it, right? The rest of them are all DC, Marvel, which is not great. I would love to see.
But it's kind of predictable, right? It is.
And of course, Batman's still going strong. Harley Quinn had a number 0 come out, so everybody's jumping on that bandwagon.
Right.
And then of course, Amazing X-Men, it's a number 1.
You would surprise me.
All the Superior Spider-Mans, are people still buying that stuff?
Even 8.
As garbage and as much as people trash talk it, it's still up there on that list.
You know why? Because it's almost become like the Miley Cyrus of comics. People want to see what's going to happen in this train wreck of a comic.
Exactly. You can't help but just tag along and see what's going on.
Exactly.
And you just can't help but buy an issue just to rag on it right after.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah,
I have to know what's happening so I can complain to my friends.
Yeah.
The one I like, the one I'm kind of surprised by and I like seeing, is Superman Unchained number 4. Still holding the number 4 spot.
Yeah.
You know, Superman titles traditionally, you know, the first issue, there's some interest, but by the time 3, 4, 5 hits, it's like, wah, right?
Yeah.
And for number 4 to be ahead of things like Infinity and
Superior
Spider-Man and Justice League, just pure Justice League of America, that's amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Good news.
Yeah. No, it's very good, very good. Listen, I think that's a great little market wrap-up for November.
All right.
I think we need to move on.
We've
done enough with this one.
Moving on up.
Let's move on to more industry news. Do we have an industry news sponsor, by the way, there, Shecky?
We always have lots of things here, Chris.
Do we? Okay. Well,
so industry news brought to you by the Stocking Stuffers. If it's small enough to put into a stocking, we encourage you to stuff it.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Everybody, all of our listeners.
Chris, you're safe.
All of our listeners should go out and stuff it.
Right.
All right, listen.
Ooh, baby, now, baby.
Here's an interesting topic, to me anyways, because, Jim, you know Neil Gaiman, right?
Know him well.
No, know him well. I know you do. So Neil Gaiman is of course, the writer of Sandman,
Because that, Neil, I don't know.
Oh. Well, Neil Gaiman is the writer of Sandman. And, of course, he's done a lot of a number of different, like, he wrote a couple episodes for, Doctor Who. And he's done some movie scripts and things like that. Mirror Mask, that kind of thing. Listen, all of a sudden now, Sandman Overture comes out a few weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was. Oh. And
who wrote that? Beethoven?
Neil Gaiman.
A good guess. That's
Neil
good
Gaiman
guess.
Still wrote that.
Oh, he wrote about, the Overture as well?
Yeah. Hold on. So, beep, beep. Let's back it up for a minute here.
Back it up.
So, Sandman was a comic series by Vertigo that came out a few years ago. Went to 75 issues. Widely acclaimed. What he won the... like the Hugo Award for science fiction writing and all that kind of stuff, fantasy writing, all kinds of awards, great series, and then it kind of died off because it's not within the regular regular DC universe, so it never really like it's sort of like a creator owned, but not really. Nobody really takes on his stuff. So now, of course, he comes back with Overture. And now there's more talk about the Sandman again. And, you know, although number two isn't coming out until, I think, February, all of a sudden now there's more talk, and it looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt is perhaps going to be involved with a Sandman movie. Now,
I love it.
Now, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is he was the guy who was in the... of course, he was in Third Rock from the Sun.
Right.
But then more recently, he's been in a lot of different movies, and he was in the Batman, what do you call it? The one with Bane. What was that?
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And he was sort of like the cop he was like Robin, right?
Right.
Well, spoiler alert.
Oh, come on. You know what? If you haven't seen it by now, tough luck.
Oh, I really like your name. You should use it more, Robin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the receptionist. Yeah.
So it looks like he's going to be involved in a Sandman movie with David Goyer, and now they've teased with the name Prelude. So it looks like he is going to be involved in a new Sandman movie. Now, his role is to produce, although he may star and even direct this Sandman
movie. And you know what I like? I like this is an example of, say, an up-and-coming actor. You know, he's a kid actor, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the film Angels in the Outfield with Danny Glover and Christopher Lloyd from the early 90s.
Yeah, I know.
One of the quintessential films I grew up with.
Oh, well.
Right?
That doesn't say much about you.
But anyway, he was in it as a kid, you know, 8 years old, whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, makes his way up the ranks and then turns into a producer. Once he starts hitting it big, they all turn into producers, which is pretty much just a way. It's a way for actors to start securing money off of other films lending their name to films.
You know what? It's definitely that way for a lot of child actors, and there are a few that have made the leap from being a child actor to a adult actor, I'll call it. Like Kurt Russell was a child actor, and he made the jump to adult acting. And it looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt might be doing the same thing.
Yeah, and he's doing very well at it. I mean, like the snowball effect keeps bringing him up to bigger roles, bigger films. You know, I mean, you look at, say, Macaulay Culkin, and that's not happening.
That's right.
But so it's good for him, and he's getting lots of credit in this, and, you know, between starring, directing, producing in this possible film, it could be out of control.
What I find really interesting is that he is also possibly up for the role of Ant-Man. So here's a guy that can be in the Marvel universe as well as being in the DC universe, right?
Can you do that? Can you be in both universes?
Why not?
Of course you can.
Why not?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern, and Deadpool. There you go.
Right.
Yep.
Plus, he was in Blade as a character.
Yeah, Marvel.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, as well. Yep.
Apparently, they don't discriminate. Once you're in one, it's not cross-contaminating.
Yeah. No cross-contamination. Yeah.
Speaking of it, let me go off on a tangent.
Do that here.
Yeah.
So on Comic Book Daily, which this podcast is podcast on the website comicbookdaily.com.
Can you say that again?
No.
Can you just say what you're trying to say?
Yeah. There's an article, I forget the name of the article, but written by Dennis DePuis, and it's on inking. Joe Sinnott, who inked Kirby.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful written thing on Joe. And in it, one of the commenters was commenting, and he put in the YouTube clip of that Chasing Amy, where they're at the con, and I think, who's the guy that played Daredevil, the actor?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is the artist.
Right.
And there's some other guy that's the anchor.
Right.
And Chasing Amy,
Amy. It's like a 2 minute, and I never seen that before.
Yeah.
And that was funny. Yeah. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, so like you trace.
They do a whole tracing. Yeah.
I ink and I enhance the person's. Oh, so you stay within the line and you color in the lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
I don't know how that.
I have no idea what that I don't, had anything to do with.
I don't know. I think we just let you talk just to let you talk. I don't know.
Because I enjoy talking.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to
so
keep
good
on,
at it.
Let's keep rolling.
Thanks for that tangent, though, Walton. That was great.
Anytime.
Tough crowd. All right, listen. Star Wars. Have you ever heard of that little movie called Star Wars?
Looking for those wars.
Looking for those wars.
Come back to me.
What was that, Bill Murray back in 1978?
Doing the Star Wars lounge singing.
Yeah. That was on, Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Listen, all right. So, Star Wars, of course, bought out by Disney. Of course, they bought out the whole Lucasfilm franchises and everything, including Indiana Jones. Looks like Jay Rasulo, who is Disney's CFO, said earlier this week at an investors conference that Disney is finalizing plans for a possible Han Solo origin movie. And this is, of course, according to the Las Vegas Guardian Express.
And they're always telling the truth.
They're always, you know, if anything comes out of Vegas, it's always true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Disney previously announced plans for a standalone spin-off Star Wars films. Of course, there's going to be all kinds of. There was all kinds of speculation. Is it going to be a Boba Fett film? Is it going to be a Yoda film?
Nothing's really been confirmed or released. It's just the fanboys.
Is this a confirmation?
Kind of. He's saying that there's
people would have guessed if anyone got a standalone film, Solo's getting the dinner.
Yeah. So listen. So although there's no direct quote, the article says that Rasulo told attendees that. There's going to be Star Wars movies being released to fill in the gaps between the franchises. Existing movies.
Here's a problem.
What's the problem? I'm not done yet, but sure, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Finish up.
No, the only thing I wanted to say finish up this little tidbit here was that the movie in question, whether or not it's going to be about Han Solo, is actually going to be scripted by Lawrence Kasdan. Now, why is this important, are you asking?
Hey, Chris, why is that important?
You know, I'm glad you asked, Walt, because Lawrence Kasdan wrote Empire Strikes Back and is currently working on Star Wars Episode 7. So Lawrence, like, there are a lot of people out there that view Empire Strikes Back to be the best of the
three
original
Star Wars movies.
And you know what?
The first one.
I gotta say, you know what? I, as a Star Wars fan, Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
Okay.
And I've often said, maybe, I don't know if it's because I like a darker film,
right?
But I like the fact that in this movie, I'm just happy. It's so well done that you're just happy by the end of the movie that the main characters are alive. They didn't win. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You're just so happy that they made it out alive.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to spoil it. Spoiler alert here.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't Han Solo get frozen up or something by the end of that movie?
Yeah, he still stayed alive though.
Oh. Okay.
Right. They made it away from the clutches of the Empire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so apparently there's going to be this movie that will take place between Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, and Episode 4, A New Hope.
Right.
Mm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Okay, right.
So Episode 4 was the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this will be a kid playing Han Solo.
It will not be. I can't imagine they're going to try to retrofit Harrison Ford into being 20 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I meant like they may even do Han Solo as a kid.
Yeah.
And then during the movie, grow him up type.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm just going to add to this a little bit and say from everything that I've heard down every line, it was apparent to everyone who kind of heard the first, you know, once Disney bought them up, it was apparent that they're going to do these interjecting, you know, films, and that one of the very first primary ones, due to popular demand, was going to be a Boba Fett and Han Solo. So you're actually going to see them interacting together in the prequel. So between that three, so even though it's, oh, is it going to be Yoda? Is it going to be Boba Fett? Is it going to be Han Solo?
Yeah.
I'm almost 99% sure it's going to be Boba Fett and Han Solo and how they played out their, you know, however they met and maybe their struggle.
Mm-hmm. Here's the issue I have with all of this,
yep.
And I'm gonna put this out there that the demand for original Star Wars material is massive.
Huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Okay. The supply line, the supply chain, the supply mechanism to deliver them is being focused on feature films.
Yes.
Which are way too expensive, way too rigid. For the amount of time they take to produce, they only deliver 100 minutes of content. And like 2 hours, okay, 120 minutes, whatever, of content.
Yeah.
And it takes you 2-3 years to produce that and $200 million to produce that. So you and I and Shrekki here as fans,
right,
we will consume and would like to consume more than 120 minutes of original content every 3 years for Star Wars.
Right, right. Well,
so what they need is something like what Marvel and DC are doing.
A TV show.
They need to go on like a weekly, Agents of Orange not Agents of Orange.
Agents of Orange.
That's good enough. Tangerine. Yeah.
Agents of Shield.
Shield. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Orange Shield. You know,
Orange
thing.
Shield. That's right.
Listen. You know. Okay. You're right and you're wrong.
Okay.
You're right in the fact.
I thought I was.
Yes, you're absolutely right in the fact that we do need that more of that stuff. However, all that is already in the works. The people at Disney, from what I've heard on our internets.
Yeah.
They want to have a Star Wars movie every year to begin with. At least one.
Yeah.
Still
not enough.
But there's been all kinds of plans to have TV shows and all kinds of live action and cartoons.
Now this
and all
is where they
kind of
should take
it.
This is where they should take because it is Disney, right?
Yeah.
What they've learned from their Marvel experience,
mistakes, yeah,
and no, not mistakes, successes, is they should tie the series to the movies.
Yes, they should.
You know, so you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're getting continuity through the comics, the TV series, the movies.
The problem is, here's the problem with that. There's so much Star Wars stuff out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, the Clone Wars, the animated series, has been running for years.
Yeah.
You know, it ran for years,
yeah.
Like 4 or 5 seasons of that kind of thing. So now, are you supposed to somehow tie in an animated series to the live action series? TV show, and to also the movies as well. I mean, and you got to remember, there's books and there's comic books coming out. Do you try to tie everything together? I think it's an impossible task to try to tie absolutely everything together.
Right.
The only thing you can do is, if there's a major storyline that's going to be appearing in the movie, and this is exactly what Marvel did in the 70s and 80s, because Marvel, of course, had the Star Wars franchise license. And at one point, they wanted to have another Death Star. And they had to send the script to Lucasfilm to tell them that we want to plan a comic book series around another Death Star. And it got squashed because, of course, Lucas was doing another Death Star for Return of the Jedi. So I think there's something that they can somehow, you know, focus in on certain major storylines, but I think it'd be absolutely impossible to try to have absolutely everything tying into something else, everything else.
All right. That being said, we're still talking Star Wars over here.
Yeah.
Shecky's got some rumor mill news for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
This has actually been breaking. This isn't confirmed or denied by any Disney CEO. At all. This is very small sort of news in the rudimentary phases. So this is talking similar to this Han Solo, Boba Fett, Yoda, everything.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're looking between episode 3 and 4, right? Like what everyone calls the original and what everyone calls these new lines. Because there's a lot of time differential in between there. And there's a lot of the characters making the jump between episode 3 to 4.
Right.
Right? So actually what's been going on right now, and a lot of people are trying to figure out what is able to be confirmed or not, one of these standalone films that is actually being lobbied for by the character who played him and may be close in negotiation for a confirmed deal is Ewan McGregor as an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone.
That'd be awesome.
So apparently it's supposed to be Obi-Wan Kenobi right after episode 3, after pretty much, you know, Vader destroys the... Spoiler alert! Vader destroys the Jedi as what they are.
Yeah.
And Kenobi goes into hiding, as does Yoda.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to actually track Kenobi as he goes on before, you know, Luke before actually develops,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So it's actually supposed to be kind of like this vigilante Jedi going on, and it came to light because
vigilante Jedi.
It came to light because Ewan McGregor is actually lobbying for this part. He's actually saying, you know, oh man, there should be an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, apparently he's taking a stance that's trying to pressure Disney into giving him this film.
Right. Yeah, oh man, I need money.
Whether or not it's already been opted or like, well, we'll think about it. Well, let me just try and get the fans rallied up so that you won't have to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, that's one of the also things that no one has really put into paper so much.
I like
no ink.
I like
but,
it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
that is good Star Wars too. But I heard another one that they're thinking of a Spock standalone.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that would be catastrophic.
Highly illogical.
Yeah. Highly illogical.
Highly illogical.
Hey, speaking of that, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, the Spock standalone would work, by the way.
Maybe.
Anyway, I'm going to go back. Hey, I'm going to go back to Comic Book Daily for a second.
Oh,
and our man.
Our man.
Our main man out in England.
Danny Champ.
Artist extraordinary. He's very talented.
He is.
He's doing a kind of what do you call it when fans write their own
fan fiction
type of thing. He's doing a fan fiction series on there called Trek Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where he's kind of doing a marriage of the Star Trek and Star Wars universes.
Oh, okay,
the Enterprise, you know, at the beginning of it, the Enterprise sees some thing out in space, and it's the Death Star.
Oh.
And so it's pretty good.
Interesting.
It's pretty good.
Interesting.
So he's trying to tell J.J. Abrams how to melt the two franchises together.
How to mind melt the two.
Remember when he did that mind meld in the old Star Trek series?
That was Spock.
I know. It was good stuff.
Anyway, check that out on Comic Book Daily.
All right, listen, we gotta go on here. We've spent far too much time on Star Wars. Let's talk about the year in comics and in pop culture
and
geekdom.
Geekdom. Year in review.
Listen.
Hold on. So, 2013, we're reviewing?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what I just said?
I'm just reiterating.
Yes.
Because I like to say the word reiterating. Like I say it so well.
You say it so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're
do we have a musical interlude? I'd like to offer a musical interlude to the people, if I may.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen A Christmas Story?
Yes.
Yes.
You ever seen where...
Shoot your eye out, kid.
No, where they have to... So the dogs come in and they maul the turkey. And then they have to revert... To going to the Chinese restaurant.
Oh.
Yes.
Deck the halls with bells of holly. And the guy keeps telling the player.
Yes, yes.
Well, that was my bit. So there you go. That's it.
Lovely.
Great.
I would have sang it further, but I would have cracked up the whole time.
Hopefully, not too many people were offended by
that.
All right. We're going to go right to 2013. We're going to do a quick review here. Heroes at the box office. You know what? Heroes were the big draw at
the box
office.
The big heroes were the big heroes of the box office.
You're right. The big heroes were the big heroes of the box office. Iron Man, Man of Steel, Thor, Wolverine dominated, absolutely dominated movies this year. All kinds of great things.
And you know, and it makes sense because for the most part, they were very well received.
Yeah.
A lot of people said great things. Man of Steel was a little in the air, a little iffy.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of people liked it for what it visually was. It gave a little bit more to the story than was normally perceived for Superman.
I just thought it was boring.
It was a little bit slower, a little bit drier, but that's because I guess the information they tried to beef up the backstory, I guess, kind of like the Batman Begins did, but it just didn't have the action that it did. So
you're right.
Well, you know what scares me though, guys, with that is is there room like the powers that be, the Marvel, the Disneys, the Warners, and everything like that is. Is there room for like original movies now? Because out of left field,
you talked about this a long. You and I talked about this a long time ago, years ago, when we first started this podcast, saying about the intermingling of pop culture within various media.
Right? Yeah,
and so we talked about how everything's getting intertwined now, and now we're seeing it more so than ever. And if I'm understanding what you're saying, is this a good thing, right? Are we not seeing original content?
If half of Hollywood's take is from established franchises of comic book characters. And what's that say to the movie industry in general?
Right.
It's great for the comic book character industry and pop culture related to comic books.
Yep.
That's awesome, right? For local comic book shops, which you and I and Shecky champion.
That's right.
That's really good, too. But in terms of just movie going, you know, like you know, this year coming up, right? I mean, everybody's kind of set. Okay, I can't wait for whatever, the new Spider-Man.
Well, well, you know what? And I understand what you're saying. A lot of things are either readapted, rebooted, or they're heroes that never got a dinner that are now coming to the table because, you know, 10 years after the pop culture buzz, now you want to hear about, you know,
now
these heroes,
yeah,
right?
Let's try Iron Man.
But you know what?
Ant-Man now.
Yeah.
But you know what? I find that, if anything, they just make a stronger contrast to those that are original ideas. So, like, let's say last year at the Oscars, you see Argo, which was a very well-written, very well-acted sort of film.
Okay.
Not superhero at all, but it stands out. Either you go to see these superhero popcorn blockbusters.
I didn't mean it that way, Shrekie. I mean, there's always going to be Argos. There's always going to be...
Absolutely.
Political, contemporary kind of... hard-hitting dramas about the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be those movies. I'm talking about pop culture. I'm talking about new creative ideas for pop culture that will come first via a movie.
Right.
Like, say, Indiana Jones.
Right, or Star
Wars.
Right? Yeah.
And then it gets
like
turned into a comic?
Or it gets turned into pop culture.
Well, yeah, you look at, like, say, like Avatar, right? Like, Avatar was a movie first.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, video games and, you know.
But let's say, look at the last 2 years. Has there been a success that's just been out of the blocks?
That's been strictly, solely
An original concept right to film.
No.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Tough question.
Are we running dry there? And it's
because
they're bailing?
You look at some of the biggest, you know, franchise. You look and you see, like, even the Sherlock Holmes stuff, which is all taken off of, you know, properties of 100 whatever years ago. And
so...
No, you're right. But you know what? They couldn't do it right 100 years ago or 50 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's stuff that people familiarize themselves with and that they want to see in the modern day.
Yeah, I'm worried about formula. I'm worried about us falling into formula.
And I think that's happening for a long time now, is that I think all too often for the last decade at least, Hollywood's really relying on special effects and not relying a whole lot on storytelling itself. And I don't know what's squashing the storytelling ideas is. You know, movies have been around for 100 years, longer than 100 years. I mean, I think the first one came out like 1887 or something like that. And
oh, did you catch that one?
Yeah, huh. The train arriving at the station. I love that one. It was
all
13 seconds long.
Wasn't
that
beautiful?
Yeah. You know, the thing is that are we running out of ideas? Right? Like, I mean, has everything been done? And has everything been said?
No.
You know, and if not, then how come there aren't better movies coming out of Hollywood? As an original story.
Because of the amount of money that's involved and the amount of risk that's involved. So we go to the odds, you know, the built-in audience, the better chance of success of a built-in franchise that has a built-in audience, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and a lot of it has to do with the cost of producing these things.
Right.
And I don't think it's a bad thing that people find some sort of innate nature to love, say, a Sherlock Holmes film that's been made with a big budget. It can look like old-timey England and can have the explosions and the gun battles that it couldn't have in the 50s with the television show, the black and white television show. People 60s. Like... Oh, sure. You know, that decade,
just,
too.
Just saying.
But people like that product. I don't think it's a bad thing that they have the demand and the desire to want to see these things done and modernized. You know, like, I understand what you're saying, where they're regurgitating properties from the past. But for people to have the demand to see isn't a bad thing.
No, maybe I misunderstood there. I love a high-quality Spider-Man, a high-quality Sherlock Holmes, a high-quality Batman movie coming out. I love it, and there's a place for it. The new Star Wars, can't wait for it, right?
Yeah.
I love that because, you know, I know it and I'm familiar with it, and I want to hug it and kiss it, right? But
interesting.
But I want
new stuff, too. Yeah, okay.
I'm not dissing the
I understand
the,
what you're saying, but you know what, Walt? And we're going to get to this. We are going to get to this as one of the recapping things.
All right,
but not enough of the big titles have tanked to really make these big blockbuster films that are $200 million plus for their budget revert back to, you know, go back to formula and start thinking from the ground up.
Right.
Until a lot of half of them or more start tanking, they're probably going to keep doing what works and just continue with the same familiar things.
You know what? I think Shecky may be onto something here. I'm going to say something here. This is almost like what happened to the comic book industry of the 90s. It was all glitz and glam, and then all of a sudden it kind of started tanking, and then the comic industry started realizing that, hey, we have to start putting out good quality stories with good quality writing, and we may actually sell some comics. And that eventually started happening in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, I mean, hold on. To catch you a bit off guard is I think with the movies, you have to deliver some sort of quality or they won't work. So,
I agree.
Like, what I'm saying is the hardcore glitz and glam, the guys that will fall for it, the fanboys and so on and so forth, there's not enough of them to make a movie a success. So I wouldn't say the success of all the superhero movies in the last 10 years are glitz and glam. They have delivered quality.
Right, that's why
they're doing well.
No, I agree.
All right,
listen, we got to keep on going here. We got way too much to talk about.
Keep plowing.
Now, speaking of glitz and glam and Marvel and all that, and the heroes.
And all that.
Interestingly enough, having said all that, Marvel has this new Netflix deal. And now all of a sudden, Marvel's going to be producing more comic book related series through Netflix.
That was a big thing in 2013, wasn't it? That announcement. And you know, when we talked about the Star Wars thing, that whole Netflix thing was great for the fans. That was one of the biggest news items of the year for this reason alone. This was going to bring original content, which is in extreme demand, to the people outside the normal vehicle of the $200 million blockbuster movie, which took too long to bring to market, not enough. Then you have to grab that 110 minutes and suffice for the next couple of years with it. That's all you have. This deal enabled us to have access to the things we love on a more consistent, regular
and available.
Available basis and more.
Timely basis, And you know, and that brings us to our third point.
I love
here,
that
is
deal,
that,
by the way.
Comics influence on TV continues with shows like Arrow, Walking Dead, and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this whole, you know, Netflix and these different shows on TV.
Well, I think it's, you know,
it's all part and parcel, right?
Let's say Buffy.
Yeah.
Let's say Smallville. Let's say Arrow.
Smallville was huge. It ran, what, 10 seasons?
Yeah. It was those series that emboldened Disney to make this Netflix deal.
No, you're right. Yep.
So we have to look at it that way.
And I think this is great because, you know what, this is starting a trend where, you know, not that we don't love, I personally don't like them at all, but I think people are starting to get tired and sick of reality TV shows.
No.
I mean, Survivor just ended a couple of days ago with their 25th season or something like that, you know, getting a little sick of all that stuff.
Ever since Eye of the Tiger, they've just gone down.
I know. It's so true. Yeah. So true. Listen, conventions. Conventions continue to rise. Frantic City.
Doctor's a plumber.
Comic conventions continue to rise. In fact, there was even conventions in India, in North Africa, the Middle East, in Latin America. All kinds of comic conventions are rising up around the world. And you know what? And even in our hometown, like in Hamilton,
you look locally, right? Hamilton just started, and Niagara had its third year, and it absolutely exploded.
And so we're always going to have the Fan Expo and the San Diego Comic Con, all these giant 4-day shows.
Yeah.
But even last weekend, there was a one-day show in Toronto that did very well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So these little one-day shows are popping up, and I think it's great because, yeah. You know what, now we don't have to wait for a year sometimes in your area for a show to come up. Like it
was back in the day. Your Fan Expo is your new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You have to wait too long to enjoy it.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So your TV series is one day Hamilton Cons, and these two-day Niagara Cons, and so on. Yeah, so bring it to the people.
Yeah.
More access to more people.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You just got to make sure that the financial dynamics and structure of these small shows is set up, that they know that they're small shows.
Right.
So you can't go in there a whomping and a whooping thinking, you know, you're going to make $1 billion and have 4,000 people walk in the door. You make the show where, okay, we're making this show hoping for 4,000 people.
Yeah.
So when you get 4,000 people, it's a successful show.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not saying, oh, you know, we're it's in October in Hamilton, Ontario, and we want 100,000 people.
No, you can't do that.
Why?
No.
That's what Wizard did.
Yeah, exactly.
When they were doing their worldwide expansion, they wanted San Diego Comic Cons in Armpit, Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Now listen. Now I'm gonna name a few movie titles here, and there's something that they all have in common. I want you to see if you can guess what they all have in common.
All right, I'm good at this kind of stuff. Check.
So here we go. Here's the titles.
Hand on the buzzer.
R.I.P.D. Red 2, Oblivion, Lone Ranger, and Kick-Ass 2.
Ah, I know it.
What is it?
They all start Sean Connery.
No, they do not. Can you say Sean Connery again?
No, I can't. Yeah, okay. That hurt me, actually.
No, do you have a guess there, Shecky?
Until you said Kick-Ass too, I was going to say they all starred major movie stars.
Well, you know what? You're right and you're wrong.
At least you were right and wrong.
I feel like it's a half
Kick-Ass,
victory right
Kick-Ass
there.
Kick-Ass 2 did star. He has like, you know, Nicolas Cage and those guys in it. But,
yeah, but didn't star him. So yeah, I feel like I welched on that.
Those are all movies that are sort of comic related that all bombed.
Oh.
Now, and here's the thing. Now, this is getting back to what
we
were talking about before.
Here's the thing.
You know, original ideas. Hollywood's going to the well, going to comic book well, for comic book ideas and movie ideas. But you know what? They're not all great. They're not all going to be, you know, winners. They're not all Iron Man 3s. R.I.P.D., great idea. The first Red was great. Red 2, haven't seen it yet, but
I saw it.
I heard it's just okay.
It was good. Yep. It wasn't anything
spectacular.
Oblivion was an original graphic novel that did relatively okay.
What's
as
Oblivion?
A graphic novel.
Is that sci-fi one with Wesley Smith?
I don't know who Wesley Smith is.
He may be mixing three different things. I don't know.
He's mixing the one with After Earth or whatever it's called.
Oh, with Smith and his kid.
Smith and his kid.
I didn't want to see that for the life of me.
You saw that?
Well, my kids were watching.
Oh, Oblivion's the one with Tom Cruise.
I saw that one.
Yeah. I like that one.
It was actually a decent
movie.
That was actually pretty good.
To the
box office.
Well, hey, maybe it's because people didn't know they were comic books.
Okay, but here's the thing. But that doesn't matter, though, because a good movie is a good movie.
You shouldn't have to know if it's a comic book or not to go and see it.
People didn't know that Men in Black, the original one, was a comic book, and it did gangbusters in the theaters, right? So, you know.
All right, you got me.
Lone Ranger. You know,
I saw in theaters.
High-ho Silver!
Exactly.
I actually, you know what? I figured that people would go and see it. It was very Pirates of the Caribbean-ish with Johnny Depp. Like, it was that same style. It wasn't as good and wasn't as amazing.
It was, what's his name? The same director.
Bruckheimer or
whoever it was, yeah.
I don't know.
Russ Meyer.
Whoever.
If only.
No.
But it seemed the same kind of style, but it wasn't as good as the Pirates whole thing.
Right.
But I figured people would have still went and saw it because it was
the
Disney franchise supporting Johnny Depp, but I guess people didn't.
They don't want to see Johnny Depp playing Keith Richard as an Indian.
Exactly.
They want to see Johnny Depp playing Keith Richard as a sailor. Pirate.
I think the movie going audience couldn't wrap their head around the Johnny Depp as a pirate playing Johnny Depp Tonto.
Right.
He did pretty well though as Tonto.
I'm sure he did, but I think the characters are it's too much of a caricature.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think he needs to go back to doing something different. You know, for the odd movie.
Let's go back to acting school.
Well, no, he's a great actor, but you know, I think it's a little too offhanded for a lot of people.
Right.
Listen.
Listen. Look it.
We got 5 minutes left here. We got to keep on talking about other
stuff. Keep on going.
Keep on
pushing.
it's funny, you know. Here we are talking about the things that didn't go well in comicdom, and we talked about the movies. The other thing that is not going well is I think that there is there's a point where geekdom is now. I mean, because geekdom is big. Big Bang Theory is popular, and comic book conventions are popular.
Oh yeah,
and you know it's cool to be a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think there's too many people that invested into, hey, you know what, I'm going to jump on the next big thing, and that's going to be geekdom, and now it's going to be MTV Geek and Comic Express and iFanboy and CNN Geek Out and all these different things that are happening for websites and stuff like that and comic blogs.
I love all those things.
And but all of a sudden, you know what, there's not enough people who really care about it to keep those things going.
They're all out of business?
It's a fandom. And I think it's a popularity thing that people who, you know, hey, yeah, I like Superman too, but am I going to go to a Superman blog? No, I like Superman, but I'm not going to go to a Superman blog.
So all those websites failed.
All those websites failed.
So iFanboy, MTV,
Geek. MTV Geek, Comic Express, CNN Geek Out.
Geek Out.
Yeah, you know what? They've all failed because there's too much too soon.
Well, I'll tell you why they all failed.
Why is that?
This is why they all fail.
Why they all fail?
Because people didn't log on?
So you go to sites like Sequential, or you go to sites like Bleeding Cool, or Comic Book Daily, where we're posted on. These are all organically grown sites.
Right.
They start with a shoestring budget. If you have enough money to buy a couple mics, maybe a 40 or something to put on the table to help you, you know, pass
little
time
little courage,
away.
Yeah.
A big soda pop.
If you have enough money to do that, you're a go.
Yeah.
And then you start slow, and over 5, 6, 7 years of hard work, like we've done, you build a nice customer or listenership
at
base.
At least 5 or 6 people that'll listen to
this. This is like 6 or 7 years of hardly work.
So what happens is this MTV guys and whoever the hell else.
CNN,
They go in and go, hey, let's do this website for geeks.
Yeah.
And let's invest $400,000 or $1.5 million to it. What's $1.5 million?
Right.
Well, hire an editor-in-chief. We'll pay them $150,000 bucks, blah, blah, blah. And
little they know, they get a shecky for $0.
Exactly.
That's
my point. My point is they thought there was something there that wasn't there. It's there.
It's there, but
it's grassroots there. It's guys like us that love getting together, love having a Coke, and love just chit-chatting about comics,
right,
and spinning some tunes. And it's not a corporate model yet.
It can be, but it's not. It's not the reporter. It's not for a guy that says, I want to be a reporter and, you know, oh, here's a job. Hey, you've read a comic or two? I want you to start going to all the different comic conventions and reporting about comic books. Because there's not enough passion. The comic book industry is all about passion and figuring things out and figuring out what it is that people want to talk about and all that kind of stuff. Right?
Luckily, this show, Comic Culture and Comic Book Daily, are not... Luckily, we don't have a $500,000 budget.
Luckily.
And luckily, we all, except for Shecky here, who's well paid.
I know.
You and I do it for love.
Yeah. Shecky gets something out of it every week.
Yeah. And
talking about ourselves to pay for parking.
We'll continue to do it. And I mean, it's sad to see, but in a way, it's good because hopefully these people will find sites and programs like ours.
It'll still grow.
Grow the right way.
Yeah, listen, right. Apparently, Shecky, you got something to say?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, everything's winding down here, okay? This is our festive sign-off.
Festive.
Okay, we are done now, everyone, so everyone knows. But, however, I just want to say, you know, coming in to close the new year, close the old year into the new year, I wanted to say, you know what, this show is going to try and propel into new heights and new bounds and new territories for the next year.
Yes.
With or
yes.
without an engineer, we'll sing every song we need to.
You know? On with the show, this is it.
But you know what it is? I have found an archive of black market knowledge. I'm just telling the listeners
black
right now
market.
That I'm going to reveal on our first show coming into January.
Oh, boy.
But I had something I couldn't hide for too long, Walt, and it's
what
because
it?
Of you. Okay.
I know you couldn't.
So this is one black market note that I have. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there is a fifth movie coming out in a movie series franchise that I had to tell you about because of one key attribute.
attribute?
It has it stars Shaft.
There is Terminator 5 scheduled.
Get out.
Confirmed.
Get out.
Arnie is confirmed.
Oh my god.
And let me tell you, no, hold on. It is a trilogy series, and he is down for all three.
Wow.
Well, you
guess
know what?
They better film all three at once.
They're going to, and you know what? I did hear about this as well.
Okay.
Because
so it's not that black market.
No.
So the guy I paid, I should ask for my money back.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And apparently the rights revert back to James Cameron in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get, whoever owns it now is trying to get as much Terminator stuff done now mm-hmm. as they can.
And this is great.
Profits.
This is exactly what I called for. I cannot wait.
Perfect.
And this plus much more news in the new year.
All right, listen. Unfortunately, we got to end it here.
Yep. Tune in 3 weeks, everyone.
Yes. Unfortunately, we will not be around for the next 3 weeks. Walt, Shecky, always a pleasure. Great to end it off. 2013. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure hanging out with you guys.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Please continue to listen to 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Support your local comic book store. Support your local radio station. Support Get the Point Radio and comicbookdaily.com. Go out and have yourself some Christmas cheer and read some comics and have yourself a wonderful day.